Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
What
a wonderful way to start the new year, gathering together. We're going to have a fabulous service today. This morning, we will have both communion and a baptism to celebrate as we welcome in this new year. My name is Loretta Job. I'm a retired deacon who is a part of this congregation and a part of your pastoral care team here. This day, we are going to start our new sermon series. And I'm going to look for the title, and it's not in front of me. So we have a new sermon series started today, Love Boldly. Anybody got it? No. Okay. There it is. It's in your bulletins. All right. While you've got your bulletin open and looking at that, grab that connection card and get that filled out for us so we know you're here. Even if you're a one-time visitor, we want to welcome you and know that you are part of this service, and your presence here is a blessing to all of us as we celebrate God's love today. There are also prayer cards in the pew backs. Those are, if you or someone you know is in need of prayer, that is a way to let the clergy and the prayer team know here. And so take a moment and fill that out, and you can put it in the basket with your connection card and the offering when that comes by. Today we have Tom Doan and Rose Bledsoe helping us in with our service this morning. If you have not found your way to Sunday school, now is the time. Go ahead and head downstairs for that. I have a few announcements for you this morning. MLK Day of Service. You have two opportunities. Thank you. We have two opportunities to be in service that day. Both are family friendly and guaranteed to give you a good warm heart that day. One from 8:15 to 11, they will be at the food pantry in Whitmore Lake, stocking and taking care of things there. And from 1 to 4 p.m., they'll be working in Cass Community Service Social Services kitchen, preparing lunch. Or meals for the day. So if you are available and would like to be a part of that mission group, please sign up so we know who to expect and how many carpool things we need to have set up, and it will be great to have you be a part of that. Coming up are some welcome statement announcements. We need your input. There will be three sessions coming up for you to get opportunity to read the proposed survey, the proposed statement, and give us feedback on it, and we do want your feedback. So Sunday, January 11th, 1 p.m. here. Tuesday the 20th is a Zoom-only meeting, and I believe, Pastor John, you're leading that, so you can look for his smiling face on your computer. And on Sunday, February 1st at 10:15, so after the service at the Whitmore Lake campus, you can join there. We also have in the back a survey. If you are not able to come to any of the listening sessions, please know that we would love to have your input as well, and so pick up one of these surveys in the back. This is coming from our church and society group, and it was one of their goals that was set for them, so let's participate as best we can. And lastly, we have classes coming up, starting this, some of them this week, Proverbs, help me, Larry. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon will be starting this Wednesday at 7 p.m. Building Beloved Community will start on Wednesday, January 14th. And the Disciple Fast Track Bible Study, which I believe will be led by Pastor Hazel, will begin on Tuesday, the 27th. And we've got membership classes coming up. So if you are at that point in your journey with us that you would like some more information about how to become a member and what that means to be a part of the United Methodist Church, that's for you. So sign up there. Those are all my announcements and my tongue-tiedness for today. And so I will turn it over to Susan for our opening hymn.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Please join me in the opening prayer. Almighty God of all, we offer our hearts and souls to you. Help us to hear your words and do your will. Guide us with your gentle hand and help us to love as you first loved us. Show us ways to embrace the stranger and feed and clothe the hungry. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, good morning, church. Happy New Year. As we gather here today, we're so fortunate to be able to be participating in not just one baptism, but two baptisms, one at the 9:30 service and one at 11 a.m. this morning. And so this morning, we are so thrilled to welcome forward Cameron, who's going to be baptized this morning. And so we'll invite her and her family to come forward and join us up here on the altar. We're excited for this day and celebrating with Adam and Robin as they join us up here this morning. Cameron might be taking a morning nap, and so we are going to we're going to disrupt that a little bit. I'm so sorry about that, Robin, but we've been there. We know what that's all about, and we're honored and excited to be a part of this moment in Cameron's life. So we begin with these words of grace. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price.
I have some things to ask you. We have some things to ask you. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? If so, say, I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all nations, ages, and races. If so, say I do.
Will you nurture Cameron in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
And now, members of the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And also, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this baby and her family now before you in your care? This response is on the slides. Join with me. With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Cameron with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us join together now in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth life. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and on Cameron, who will receive it, to wash away their sin, to clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. Amen. I'll invite you guys to step forward, and as we do participate in this baptism, we pray that God's Spirit would work within Cameron's life and surround her in your steadfast love. Cameron, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Cameron, may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You can go back to sleep now, Cameron. The worst part is now over. Friends, we invite you to join us in welcoming Cameron into the body of Christ. Please welcome our new sister in the faith. Amen. I invite you to join me in the baptismal response that is on the screen. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, We welcome you as members of the family of Christ, members of the household of God. I commend Cameron to your care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her in hope, and perfect her in love. I invite you to join in this response. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of this church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. We celebrate Cameron's inauguration into the church here, and on behalf of the congregation, I just want to share with you a couple of gifts. The first is a baby blanket that we hope will be a blessing to you guys as you continue in your journey of parenthood. The second is one of these beautiful Hug-A-Bibles, and it's our prayer that this would help you guys tell the story of the faith to Cameron as she continues to grow in love and grace. Will you join me in please welcoming Cameron into this body of Christ? Congratulations. Thanks so much for being here. Congratulations. Thanks for being here. Congratulations to you guys. Congratulations. Peace be with you guys. Yeah. May she sleep and rest well. Yeah. Blessings to you guys.
Scripture reading this morning is a little bit long, so pay attention. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home, and when you are away, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Deuteronomy. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him, Jesus, teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You know, here we are on this day when we have two sacraments. The only two we celebrate as United Methodists. We have the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of Holy Communion. And we think the sacraments, of course, God is with us always, but somehow there is this sense of God's closeness when we celebrate these. And so that's perfect for what we're going to be talking about today, loving God boldly. Let's begin with prayer. God of all creation, God of love, God who promised to show a way even in the darkest valleys, we need you. We're living in complex times, and who are we but simple people? People you've called to love you, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love the stranger, the poor, the oppressed, the hungry. But we're a little overwhelmed, not sure what to do next, how to help. Maybe we could just wait for a miracle. You did it 4,000 years ago for the Hebrew people, and 2,000 years ago in the days of the first disciples, who had no idea that you could work through them, but you did. Open our eyes to love you, to be empowered by your love, to change and even transform your world. In Jesus' name, amen. So my friends, I'm going to tell some stories today, and they're mainly Bible stories, familiar stories, but I want to try to thread them together from a little bit different point of view. So listen with your heart. As the children of Israel were about to enter the promised land, Moses stood up before them, and he painted a vision of their new life in the land before them. He spoke to them words that could carry as a prayer because they were so powerful, words that the Hebrew people would pray throughout the ages to this day, and it's called the Shema, and it was part of what Tom read for you. It was the part that said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart." Jesus captured that idea himself when he was asked which law was the most important. Do you remember what he said was the most important law? I think you know. What was it? Love the Lord your God. Wonder where he got that from. Maybe the Shema? And then he said there was a second one, and that one was Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he sealed the whole deal by saying, on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Wow. That idea of love, this idea of love, it's so important. It has got to be a foundation for any church or any individual who's standing on the edge of a strange new place and who's trying to figure out how to journey faithfully in the future, how to make God smile. And that's exactly the situation that the United Methodist Church is in right now. We have been through tough times. We have mourned the loss of some very good friends, and we still love them. But we have also stood firm in our call to love God and neighbors, all our neighbors, as best we can. But now it's time for us to square up our shoulders, for we have important work before us. Within our world, we are seeing wars and rumors of war. We are seeing cruelty and some turning away from basic concerns for the needs of the poor and the sick and the hungry. We're seeing it all over the world. We're seeing a self-focus that turns its back on neighbors and snarls at those who seem like strangers for any of a whole wide host of reasons. But we are a church, and we are called not only to pray for our world, but also to bring God's love to life in fresh ways, ways that will spark God-inspired innovation and self-examination, ways that will break out of old molds and bring new hope to widows, new hope to orphans, new hope to strangers or people that seem to us at first to be strangers, but whom we are called to love. And so, the United Methodist Church has developed a new vision statement to help us to see more clearly what this future might look like, this one we're trying to move towards, just the way they tried to move into the promised land. Well, first of all, our vision statement fits really perfectly with our mission. Does anybody remember? You get extra credit. Does anybody in here that's not clergy remember our mission of the United Methodist Church? Anybody? All right, I'll go with, oh, yes, Matt. Or it's not Matt, who? Bob. Bob, hi. Amen. Give that. All right. Here, yes. Very good. Very, very good. That has been our mission statement for a while, but this vision statement is new, and it helps us to create, with the vision statement, a mental picture of what we need to look like as a church in the future. So, not only are we going to be loving God and loving neighbor, but we're going to be loving boldly. Not only will we be serving God, but we will be serving joyfully. Not only stepping up to lead with fresh perspectives, but to lead courageously. I think this is the most exciting thing that I've heard in a while. I am really, really happy about this. And there you can see it again. With a little bit of background information, because of course, there's a longer version. We are a wordy people, are we not? And so, you know, the long version is the United Methodist Church forms disciples of Jesus Christ who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, I'm glad of that part, will love boldly, serve joyfully, lead courageously in our local communities and in our worldwide connections. You know, what I love about this is I think it means that we're saying we see the world is changing, we see that our world is changing, and it's time for us to change a little bit too. It's time for us to step up, to actively seek ways to use our voices, use our imagination, use our experience, use our hearts, our minds to seek kindness and justice and love of neighbor and love of God. So we're going to be working with this vision statement over the next few weeks, next couple of weeks. John will be preaching 1 week and Lindsay another, but I get to preach the Love Boldly one, and I'm very happy about that. So let's start with this. What does it mean to love boldly? Are there examples of God loving boldly that might help us to know what bold love might be like that we can extrapolate into our own world? Well, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. Ah, you're telling your age when you recognize that quote. But I know it, so we're good. From the very beginning, our God must have been a bold dreamer. For out of nothing at all, God imagined swirling galaxy and twinkling stars and gases and elements that, if blended just right, could lead to living, breathing plants and animals and even us. I imagine God smiling at the sight of what was coming into being and of all the possibilities of goodness and love that our planet could hold. But most of all, God wanted a place where there could be living persons in his image, loving boldly with great freedom to create and the freedom to choose who we will be, the freedom to choose who we will follow, the freedom to love whom we will love, and even to love ourselves. That's sometimes the hardest one, isn't it? God took the bold move to create us knowing that there was a risk involved because we might screw it up. We might make some bad choices. But God was patient to work with us as we sometimes learn to do better. Sometimes we learn to make better choices, and then we forgot and we slip backward again. God tells us again and again, we can count on God's steadfast love, the bedrock of his love for Abraham and Jacob and Moses and even for you and even for me. He spoke to Abraham, he wrestled with Jacob, and he guided Moses through some very difficult times with very stubborn people. In Exodus chapter 34, God talks, well, God proclaims that he is the Lord, a God merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Don't you like to hear all that? Keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity, yet, this is the part I don't like to read, but I do, yet by no means clearing the guilty. Huh? Wait a minute. What's that? Well, just a few verses later, in spite of God just having said by no means clearing the guilty, Moses boldly asks God to forgive his people, forgive them anyways. And what does God do? He says, all right, I'll offer you a covenant for a long-term relationship. Then in Leviticus, God shares part of his dream for his people. And that's where he says, "You, for the first time that we've got it written down, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And a few verses later, he tells them they got to love the aliens who reside among them. Oh my gosh. He's getting kind of specific there, isn't he? And he might even step on some toes. Over the centuries, God speaks through rolling thunder, crashing waves. He also speaks to the frightened Elijah in a still, small voice, like a loving silence, with the power to draw Elijah out of his terror and set him on a pathway of hope, a pathway to a new vision. Finally, God takes the boldest move to redeem these sinful people he created. So he comes among us in the person of Jesus to teach, to heal, to demonstrate self-giving love, even unto death. Even unto death. Amazingly, the resurrected Jesus passes along his work. This work of loving boldly, he passes it on to a motley group of disciples. Oh, dear. And he tells them to go into all the world, and they're supposed to make disciples and baptize. We can check that one. And baptize and teach and know that God would be with them. Finally, God sends the Holy Spirit to love them and to guide them, and that Holy Spirit is guiding us to this day. Tell me, do you ever experience God guiding you? Has anything ever happened in your life where you felt like, oh, I sort of think I'm being nudged by God? Has that happened? When it does, you can be sure it's a sign of God loving you boldly. So now the ball is in our court. Can we as a church, can we as individuals love boldly like God did, like Jesus did, like the Spirit invites us to do? You know, we're a church that's really very good at loving neighbors who are hungry or need a house built, or neighbors in Liberia who need a well drilled, or neighbors who need easier access to restrooms. We are good at that, are we not? And so much more. It's all wonderful. But here we are being challenged. What would it look like if we, this really pretty darn good church, if we were to try to love boldly or more boldly? I don't know what we're supposed to do, but I think there's something. And I think maybe it's time for us to look deep into our hearts first, and then look deeply into the hearts of hurting people who come our way. If we become curious about these hurting people and we listen to their stories, we might learn something from them, and they may learn some things from us, and we can both be better for it. That's what happened to me the first time I was asked to teach scripture to a group of homeless people. This was before I was a pastor. And I said, sure, I guess. And I thought that I could just figure out what to say, and I certainly figured I knew more about scripture than they did. You already know what happened. They knew the scripture, honestly, better than I did. They could recite it because it wasn't convenient necessarily to carry around Bibles, but they had it in their heads. I'll tell you that. And so God used that session to teach me a thing or two, and I think there's something in that. I think when we try to help from a distance, we might miss something. We got to get close up. We got to listen. Loving boldly is not just a matter of moving fast to do what we think needs doing. Rather, loving boldly involves utilizing those less spoken fruits of the Spirit, things like patience, gentleness, kindness, even self-control. Sometimes we can get so busy trying to do loving things, we forget to return to the source of all love. When times are hard, we need to dig deeper into our relationship with God. That's number one. Remember number one, love God. When Jesus said that was the greatest commandment, what are we supposed to do with that? Well, recently I read again a few lines from an ancient book that really helped me, that kind of changed the way that I go about loving God. So I thought I would tell you in closing. The book is called The Cloud of Unknowing. It was written in the 1300s. And in it, a student has asked a teacher a bold question: how do I find God? And his answer was amazing. Here's what he said. Whenever you feel drawn by grace and you're determined to do it, simply raise your heart to God with a gentle stirring of love. Raise your heart to God with a gentle stirring of love. At the very key climactic moment, we hear from the neighbors. All right. So, my friends, with a willing heart, I invite you now to take just a minute of silence. Raise your heart to God with a gentle stirring of love. Just do it. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Welcome, everyone, on this first Sunday of 2026. You know, I can remember back as a kid thinking, you know, we get into the 2000s and I'll be old. I don't feel that old. We don't have any prayer quilts this morning. And that's a good thing, so to speak. But there are probably people out there who still need prayer quilts. And if you know of someone, there are prayer quilts available. And we've even been known to do a custom prayer quilt now and then. So if you know of anyone, please let someone in the church office or one of the pastors or Stephanie Niekoff or even one of the quilting ladies, there are many, that there is a quilt needed. We appreciate that. Now this Sunday is the Epiphany of Christ. Five of us attended the celebration, Epiphany celebration at North Lake Church in Chelsea yesterday, and it was a lovely ceremony. We had prayers and hymns and a really good speaker, their pastor there, Trish Farrell. I'd like to hear her speak again sometime. So it was a good celebration and a time of togetherness. So now when we have this time of togetherness, please be in an attitude of prayer. Holy Creator, the star that led the Magi to the Christ announced to the world that its Savior was born. The light of the world had come. The radiance of your light illuminates even dark corners. We pray for knowledge of the fullness of your grace, and we pray for the courage to live it. Forgive our ignorance. Be the center of all that we are, the light by which we walk, and the blessing we bring to others. The world we often observe offers little comfort, but much chaos. Help us to see the wonders and beauty that also inhabit our shared earth. Help us to recognize love and kindness, and to multiply the acts of compassion that serve as reminders of your transforming power for good. Help us to be that empathic presence that demonstrates our connection with others. Generous God, for the air that we breathe, for warmth and light, food to eat and water to drink, we offer our thanks and praise for the spiritual gifts that bind us together, for good news of the gospel, for healing and wholeness, freedom and justice. We offer our hearts in service. May our mouths proclaim the love that we have known, and let your light flow into the examples we live and pour into the hearts of others so that all might receive your renewing spirit. Our lives should reflect your grace day by day so that we might be the means through which others encounter Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, It is in your power that we can do all things. Be the unity between our lives, the light by which we see, the anchor in turbulent times, and the rock upon which we stand. Wrap us in your arms and fill us with your Spirit, so that we might share your glory with this imperfect world. We have had our moment of silence, so at this time, we'll join together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Thank you so much, Rose, for those beautiful words. We've come to a time in the service where we have an opportunity to gather around this table of grace. And I don't know about you, but as Pastor Lynn gave us that moment of silence and reflection, thinking about how God is calling us to love boldly, something came to me that made me nervous. It made me anxious. I was like, really, God, you want me to do that? It's sort of like, are you sure I could do that? I felt challenged. I felt pushed. I felt urged to do something that felt bigger than me. And that's how you know God's involved, when God pushes you to do something that feels bigger than yourself. But as we gather around this table of grace, I'm wondering if other people felt called too. If other people felt challenged or pushed or urged to do something, to love boldly, to love beyond ourselves, this table that we're all invited to is an opportunity to get the nourishment, to get the strength, to do the things that God is calling us to do. And so we remember how Jesus gathered around a table just like this with the disciples long ago, and in front of his friends, the disciples who had gathered around him, he took a loaf of bread and he lifted it before them and he said, take this. This is my body, which has been broken for you. Take it and eat it as often as you can. And when the supper was over, he took a cup and he lifted it before them and he said, take this and drink this. This is my love, which has been poured out for you. Drink it as often as you can in remembrance of me. And so we gather around this table of grace, thanking God that God welcomes all of us to this space, thanking God that God makes space at the table for all of us. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit, transform these elements of bread and cup into something extraordinary. Allow us to sense your grace and the transformation of your love in our lives. May this be a foretaste of the heaven that is to come. May we sense your justice and your call on our lives to live boldly, to go beyond ourselves, to trust in your Holy Spirit. Make these elements of grace a real, tangible expression of your love, and transform us as well. Give us the courage and the strength to love like Jesus loved. In his name we pray. Amen. I want to let you know that you don't have to be a member of this or any other church to come forward and receive these elements of grace. In the United Methodist Church, we practice what's called an open communion table, which means everybody's welcome. And so in a moment, we'll invite you to come forward by the diagonal aisles, and we'll invite you to receive a piece of bread. And we have these small cups of juice, and we invite you to receive these elements of grace. You can take the bread and eat it, and take a cup and drink it as well. And this is a gift that God offers us so this, to sustain us in the journey of our faith and in our lives. And so we'll invite you to come forward. There will be a gluten-free station in the center if you'd like to receive those elements. And after you receive the juice, we invite you to gently place the glass cups inside the waste baskets in the center aisle as you return to your seats. All has been made ready. With those who are assisting in serving communions, please come forward and assist us at this time. All has been made ready. Will you please come feast at God's heavenly banquet? Thank you.
As we prepare to receive our offering this morning, I want to thank you who are generously giving throughout the year. For those who are visiting with us today, know that your presence is gift and blessing for us, and we do not expect you to participate, but we hope that you will include your connection card and any prayer cards that you have at this time.
My friends, go out into the world today to do two things. First of all, to know that you are deeply loved by God. And then, to listen and do what God calls you to do, even if it means going boldly. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.